So having a chat with Rhea Burridge-Mayer, who's the CEO of Hockey Wales, and just getting a bit of a chance and opportunity to have a discussion around transitioning into kind of being a chief exec into a mum and balancing the both of those things over the last 12 months as well, being in terms of COVID and lockdowns and getting back into work. So a bit of a getting your experiences and your story, I guess, and getting some thoughts of where you are with that at the moment. Yeah, so I don't know whether you want to give a bit of background into that, Rhea, in terms of your kind of the last 12 months has been a bit mad and manic for everybody, but especially for yourself into exciting times.
Yeah, a little bit different to other people's COVID experiences for sure.
Yeah.
But I think probably just to give a bit of an overview, you know, joined former athlete, played for hockey for Wales, and then became a board member in 2016. Then on to head of development, and then chief exec just over 2 years now, of which I've spent a few months off on maternity leave. But yeah, it's been an interesting year. When I you know, found out that I was pregnant, I hadn't long been offered the role of chief exec, so kind of went in with a plan, you know, a long-term plan for me in the role, and then followed that meeting with my chair to say, but it's going to be a little bit slower because I'm pregnant, and you know, it's been a long journey for me. It's taken us 5 years to sort of be successful, really, a few attempts through IVF, so it's been quite a journey. But I think probably one of the most important things, and you know, I guess the modern day allows that, is despite, you know, pursuing my career as wanting to be a chief exec for the organization, I you know, I still valued the importance of having a family, and I've been really fortunate that the organization has supported me to do that, to still kind of pursue that, both of those dreams, I suppose. And then once we'd established that, you know, when I was going off, et cetera, the plan then was for the executive team to step up and lead the organization, with Hannah Bevan stepping in as executive lead, and I guess during my time off on maternity, I was there to support her. And then yeah, March comes and COVID hits. So I spent a couple of months kind of getting our head around COVID whilst I was still in work. You know, leave dispensation and those kind of conversations returned, never thinking that, you know, 12 months later, or when I'm returning back to work, we're still in COVID, which was just, you know, unbelievable. I mean, a lot of people in the organization in and around kind of sporting worlds didn't even know I was pregnant. So when I was, all they saw was kind of this half of me. So
Yeah.
when I said I'm off now for a couple of months, so they were like, well, where are you going? And you know, obviously shared that I was going on maternity leave. But yeah, it's been quite a challenge. To some extent, COVID's been quite nice because we've had some quality time with the family. You know, just getting to know each other as a group, and that's been lovely. And then I think it really gave me the opportunity to reflect on the organization by being off. I think when you can kind of completely step away from what you do without any influence or any time delays, and the real opportunity to reflect. I've always wanted and tried to do that. I'm guilty of not doing it very well now, but during that time I was able to do it. And given the fact, you know, there's some, you know, some funding challenges coming up in the next couple of years, really, I guess, like I said, give me the opportunity to think about what we should be doing as an organization and how we should operate. And just before I returned from maternity leave, I set the guys a bit of a task. So they went off in some small groups and did some start, stop, continue exercises, just go, you know, are we doing the right thing? You know, almost a bit of a theory of change process. And we hadn't long set a new strategic intent, which is really dynamic and really good. So really has given us the opportunity to change what we do. And as a result of that, we're now kind of going through a bit of a, not a structure change, but more of a bit of a reconfiguration and a reevaluation of job descriptions. And the team have really embraced that. And actually they've led it. They're the ones who kind of said what they think they should be doing and where their strengths are. So it was really good to be able to take the time to reflect, let them do the work, still be off, and then receive that information to digest it without having to kind of get into the nitty-gritty of, you know, my jobs, my roles and responsibilities, and managing and, you know, investing in people. So you know, as a result, now I've sort of come back into the organization really excited to you know, to take us now to the next step, the next level that we all wanted to be part of. The transition was quite hard, even though we're in lockdown, and I'm in the office now, but we've got another office, which is the camper van, where I spend half of my working week sat in the back of a camper van and half in here. you know, it's nice to kind of still have that family time and be able to kind of have lunch and not commute to make the best of that. And one of the things we did as a team was just like, you know, spend some time with everybody to say, what do you want to take forward? What have we learned from COVID? You know, this kind of normal or whatever we want to call it. And a lot of the team are really keen to, you know, continue with this flexi working. You know, we'll go in the office if we need to, we'll get together when we need to for kind of social events or hockey events, competitions, etc. But there's a real appetite for us to continue to work in this similar vein. And what it's done is brought the team really close together. I think you naturally have remote workers and office workers. The remote workers feel, you know, disadvantaged somewhat, even from the kind of social interactions. Whereas, you know, as a team, we meet every fortnight formally, and then there's kind of coffee catch-ups via Zooms every other week. And that has really, really brought the team together, really connected everybody. And there seemed to be, when I returned, a real positive, real buzz, which is remarkable considering we had 50% of the staff off on furlough. We know we're facing a funding cut in 2 years' time, but yet there's a real appetite to kind of resolve maybe some of the potential challenges to ensure that we're not in the place we could be in 2 years' time. So it's been really exciting to kind of come back to that new change, you know, drive the strategy, bit of a new reshuffle across the organisation. And this new way of working is great for me. You know, I want to spend time with my little one in the afternoon, and if I can get a run or a walk in at lunchtime, it's so much easier to do that from working from home. So the balance has been really, really positive. So the transition, you know, from kind of remaining chief exec, now becoming a mum in this new working environment, has been really, really suitable.
How easy did you find it? You know, you reversed back kind of 12 months ago. So what were your thoughts when you thought, right, okay, COVID's hit, we've got this, I'm going off maternity. What were your initial thoughts then?
If I'm honest, I was probably naive around COVID. I didn't think that I would still be in COVID when we came back. And I mean, I think we probably all were, maybe naive is not wrong, maybe probably optimistic really, rather than naive.
Yeah.
And I'm so confident in the exec team that they had the capacity to lead the organization without me being there. You know, I've got a really good relationship with them. They knew they could pick up they got my personal number, they could pick up the phone or text if it was a really pressing issue. It was also kind of good to stay connected as well, you know, keep your brain ticking over. There is such a thing as baby brain. I've learned that and still got it a little bit. And they are patient with me, to be fair. But I didn't really fear anything. I know we've got a really good board who are supportive, and individual board members directly work with and support team members. So I was confident that as a collective, you know, we've got a really good team outside the exec. You know, when decisions got tough, I knew they'd pull together. You know, like I said, whilst we've got an executive lead in, we've got a really strong team and a really good board to make sure things happened. Coming back, it was a bit emotional. You know, that first day I was sat in the camper van and had a catch up with the team. And, you know, I think that was an emotional day. I didn't really anticipate it. It kind of just came over me. But I didn't really anticipate this being where we are for such a long time in terms of COVID.
When you're reflecting back, you mentioned a few things there. If you could go back to kind of March 2020, what advice would you give yourself? What advice would you give yourself then that you've learned now, you know, kind of reflecting back? But how to deal with kind of that transition coming back into it?
Yeah, I think you have to plan, it's hard, isn't it? Because I planned so much and did a huge handover, and then COVID happened and the handover wasn't applicable. I think one of the strengths that we have is I'm not necessarily, whilst, you know, I lead the organization, I think one of the most important things that I have recognized as a strength is how I connected everybody. So if there was a major issue, I was fairly confident that somebody in the organization would know how to deal with it, or would be experienced in it, or would have been familiar with it or part of a conversation. So whether that's a Sport Wales relationship, you know, Hannah as head of development was always in on those conversations. A GB relationship, Kevin was always in on those conversations. You know, a commercial conversation, Nia was always close to it. So some of the kind of, I guess, the bigger, the relationship side of the organization, I don't think I hold much on my own. I don't think I have, you know, that sole kind of onus on it's all on me, and I'm the only one who has the answers, or I'm the only one who can enter into a conversation. So I think probably looking back to March, it was, I'm kind of glad that over time I've not been overly hierarchical and kept things to myself. And I'm glad that I've connected the board and the organization, that at any point that, you know, if there was maybe more of an executive decision or board approval or board reassurance, the guys were able to kind of just pick up the phone and drop an email and speak to somebody directly, whether it was our legal representative or somebody from finance or marketing or performance, you know, an elected member. They've all got that skill set, and they've all got that kind of relationship with them. So I think I don't think I would have done anything too differently. I'm happy that we prepared effectively for it. I'm glad that I prepared in enough time, because actually Bowden arrived 5 weeks early. So I was still actually in work when I got kind of taken into hospital. We'd have a board meeting on the Monday, and Monday morning I'm texting saying, I'll be there, it's fine, no problem, I'll be out of hospital. And then that evening he arrived. So I was like, I'm not actually going to be there. So I was glad really that I'd really got ahead of everything and really, you know, got organized and got things done. And a week before he arrived as well, I'd submitted my master's dissertation. So along with kind of COVID and the handover and, you know, leading the organization, I was also completing my research project. I'd spoken to my mentor, Mel from USW, and said, I'm pregnant. And she was like, right, we need to get ahead of this. And I literally, like, the week I did my handover, handed my dissertation in, and then a week later he was here. So I think the most important thing is don't underestimate and get ahead of everything and get organized and connect people, you know, allow people to kind of understand and be part of it. There doesn't need to be many secrets in an organization, so don't make life difficult for yourself as a chief exec.
Do you think I quite like that, because I agree with Noah, obviously not spending loads of time with you guys as an organization, and particularly yourself, obviously we started working together and then you were off. And what I found really impressive was, you know, obviously those connections, but also the adaptability of yourself and the organization. And I thought adaptability to kind of, you mentioned planning, but also to be able to shift from the next challenge as well. It's okay, yeah, this is what we've planned, but no, this is, you know, if nothing else, we've learned the last 12 months that things come on a weekly basis usually to kind of challenge the kind of the norm and the environment. That's been quite impressive. What do you put that down to? Is it that kind of openness and that shared kind of vision?
Yeah, I think we were really lucky actually, because prior to lockdown we'd set a strategy which was dynamic and wasn't too data driven. It's flexible enough that we can adapt what we do underneath and still retain the strategy. I mean, the strategy has potential to last as long as we need to. There's no kind of timeline on it, so to speak. So I think what we were fortunate is we went in for COVID already wanting to be dynamic and already wanting to kind of learn and shift and move and be adaptable. So I think one of the fortunate things of that is we had a mindset of adaptability and change because of our experience through the strategic intent process. We'd had conversations about the world being complex and things changing, and actually we wanted to be able to do that. You know, we wanted to be able to try something out, try a new initiative, try a new product, and we're really open to accepting that it might not work, and that's okay. There's no one's going to get punished, no one's going to get kind of, you know, no one's going to point fingers. We're all going to go, brilliant, what did we learn? What should we do different? Like, let's go again. And what I think we've tried to do, not as successful as we could do, I think there's a lot of work still to do with that, is we've brought members on that journey. So what I hope we aren't is at the scrutiny. I hope members aren't going to scrutinize us for this, because we've engaged them through our intent to accept the fact that we're learning led. So I genuinely think the mindset of the team has been change and adaptation. So when they came into COVID then, because we agreed that's a process we wanted to go through and be part and, you know, buy into it. Well, easy for me to say, it wasn't as difficult because I wasn't there, but I think they'll string me up for saying that. I think they were able as a group to approach it differently.
Yeah, definitely. And you saw that, you know, from you going off, people picking things up, and that's obviously as a result of the planning and the ability to adapt and having a strong strategic intent that allowed people to kind of feel like that and feel comfortable. And
yeah, it's also a testament to the staff. I mean, they're brilliant. The staff are really good. You know, I have complete faith in you know, we don't have, you know, traditional organizational values. The values are human values. It's because we love it, we enjoy it, and we want to make a difference. So we approach things with that. We don't think, you know, honesty isn't one of our values, because our, you know, how people interpret honesty is different, isn't it? But actually, love and enjoyment, whilst it might sound a little bit cheesy to us, it's passion and care, you know. And I think because they all feel like that, it absolutely is a testament to them as individuals that we've got through COVID and we've done it with it. They've not needed me to do that. They've been able to pull together as a group, and I'm really fortunate. And it was really nice to come back into the organization just to see how well they gelled. And we've got like a Microsoft Teams chat, and you know, me being me, I'm still trying to, you know, see what's going on. I would just kind of I didn't, you know, reply or, you know, comment. I just watch their chat, and like the, you know, the banter and the fun and, you know, the gifts and stuff. And, you know, everything was really kind of pleasant and enjoy, you know, fun. And they seemed to be having a good time as well of going through this kind of crisis. So it was really good to watch. And I knew coming back in that we were okay.
So you're obviously excited to be back into it. You can tell, I mean, apart from the obvious, what's the difference now of being back in the organization, and how are you kind of managing that dual role now as a mum as well as a chief exec?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I actually feel like I'm more efficient because I don't have the choice to kind of not that I would put things on hold, at 5 o'clock, if you know, I have a responsibility, I have to, you know, finish at 5 or maybe a little bit later, or 6 o'clock. But, you know, when I finish, I switch off. I have to. I don't have a choice now. Whereas before, and I think as a result of that, I have to be more efficient with what I do. I have to approach things differently. I have to manage my time better. I can't loaf anymore. Whereas, you know, sometimes you start a day going, you know, and you spend an hour going, right, get your head into this. And everyone does it, so I'm not going to deny, we don't do it as chief execs. I can't afford to do that now. So I go, right, what have I got to do? You know, what have I got to box off? What are my priorities this week? Because I can't work 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, every night, because I've got a family and a baby now. So whatever I've got to get done, I've got to get it done. And it does make me think actually about, you know, was I always using my time effectively before I had a family? And I probably wasn't, whereas that's probably one of the biggest things I've learned is to be better with my time, you know, be better with my approach to kind of, you know, being healthy and physically active, and give myself that opportunity to go out at lunchtime for a run, you know, go for a walk, don't do a Teams call, do a phone call and go for a walk. You know, these are the sort of things that I've had to change maybe about what I do. And again, with the team, is just getting them to be a bit more efficient with what they're doing. And I think there's been a definite buy-in from them around flexi working. You know, if you know, just the little ones just had a bit of a meltdown, I've had to clock off for half an hour. I can do that. There's no problem. I don't have to work 9 to 5 because I don't want to work that way. The team don't want to work that way. And I think you get the best out of people by allowing them to have that flexibility and that good kind of life-work balance.
I suppose the focus then goes on to kind of the outcomes that have been achieved as opposed to the amount of time you put into. So it's not just about kind of X amount of hours per week or day, it's what you've actually achieved.
100%. And if the sun is shining and it's a Friday afternoon, if you want to, you know, get up the pub early or go on a bike ride, in my opinion, if you want to do that, you should go and do it, because I know full well that you've worked hard enough, or you will make up that time at some point. Not the time, but you'll make up the work that needed to be done. Or you'll make that effort to make that phone call or catch up with somebody or get those emails done. Because I genuinely believe that people don't come to work to do a bad job, and they want to do the best of, you know, within that environment. And I mean, if you can do it in, you know, 35 hours, not 37 and a half hours, go for it. Have that Friday afternoon, or, you know, go for that run or that bike ride, or catch up with a family member or a friend and have a coffee. I think that's really important. You get the best out of people if you can allow them to do it in the way that works for them and their environment.
Do you also think, you know, not just the time efficiency and you have to be now because of the other commitments you've got, is it, what about kind of the value of having another focus as well? So it's not just, you're not just clocking off, but also thinking about the job all the time. You shift your thinking into something else, your family and, you know, the little one and doing other things.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that, but yeah, I mean, you've got a choice, you know, and it is nice. It absolutely is nice. It is nice to still go out on the bike and still go for a run and have, you know, my own headspace and be able to, you know, switch off from work and family. You know, you can't deny the need to still be able to do that. But it's definitely important to have more than work, isn't it? I think it's not healthy to just, you know, be work. I've been in meetings where I've gone, I'm really sorry, I have to go. And I would never have dreamed of doing or saying that before. And I think it's a sign of authenticity and, you know, being true to, you know, I've shared a lot about, you know, Bowden and, you know, I've shared with people that it's been an IVF journey and I've shared that with the team. And, you know, I cried in front of them when I first came back to work, and I'm not afraid to do that because I'm a real person in the day. Just because I've got a chief exec next to my name doesn't make me any less of a human being than everybody else in the organisation. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you mentioned a few things there, but, you know, obviously the joy of getting out on the bike and walking. So, what are your strategies now that you've got, you know, you're back into work, you've got your, you know, the family as well. How do you switch? Offers, we've got a love of books because I see them all behind you, and we've had a number of discussions over that. But have you got strategies that you kind of to be able to do other things?
I've got a strategy of buying books and not reading them because I actually don't, I haven't got the time, and I'm mad to think that our most recent call, I bought a book after that, and it's on the shelf, and it's like sixth or seventh in a row to be read. I think I'm trying to go out and do a run twice a week. So, you know, midweek, lunchtime, well, I went out yesterday about 1 o'clock. My diary was free. And I think what I'm trying to do now is at least twice a week is just giving myself an hour and a half to be able to go out, go for a run, come back, have a shower, have some food and log back on. And that forces me to do more in the morning to give myself that kind of flexibility. And Fern is, you know, Fern and I are managing our evenings now to say, right, what do you want to do and when do you want to do it? And, you know, she'll be back doing football soon on a Sunday and I'll be back. I'm hoping to go out and start playing golf again. So it's like, right, you know, how do we make that work? How do we manage our diaries and share that? And, you know, grandparents come here, drag them into the equation. You know, we absolutely value, I think, you know, if you're happy parents, your children are going to be happy. And if being happy means, you know, you make time for yourself. And you don't always spend every hour with your child. I think that's really healthy. And at the moment, he's a really happy baby. And, you know, I'm still able to kind of keep my fitness going and Fern's able to still do hers. So I think it's really important that if we're happy, then the family environment is happy. And it's just making time. It's allocating that time and not getting, if somebody asks for a meeting at 1 o'clock yesterday, I wouldn't have said yes. I would have said, I can't, I'm going out. Just discipline to say, no, that's the time for me.
That certainly is one of the, you know, obviously a lot of discussions at the moment is around making that time and looking after yourself so you can look after your family, you can look after the organization, so it's kind of definitely making time for that. And a lot of talk around different strategies and what helps people switch off. I can just see this massive kind of timetable on your fridge now with when you can do things and
doing a lot, yeah.
But definitely.
And I think sport is interesting, isn't it? I think, you know, if I can't do something at a certain time because Fern's got an evening meeting or, you know, it's bath night and, you know, we all pull together for bath night, then I think there's a space where I go, like, I can't do it, I've got childcare, you know. And if I can, you know, that's just partners, stakeholders, you know, members, staff, if everyone is accepting of that and recognizes the reality of it, then I think your working environment is so much easier.
As you say, that goes back to the authenticity then of the people running the organization, because of the understanding of what everybody else, you know, the membership is perhaps going through as well, and the challenges. Do you think, I mean, generally as well in terms of sport in Wales, but also hockey, the last year and a bit has probably given us lots of kind of learnings of how that's going to impact on our offers going forward. So in terms of hockey now, in terms of what you think, you know, people have had to adapt. So your membership's adapted, clubs have adapted. And I guess you guys as an organisation have had to kind of reevaluate that as well.
I think our members, I think, have been really loyal. I think whilst we furloughed some of the staff, we recognise the importance of still engaging and communicating. And I think we're really fortunate, you know, inevitably Some people have picked up other hobbies, you know, and started doing other stuff because they've had no choice because of, you know, COVID stipulations. But generally, our members have been really loyal, really supportive. We've engaged with them. You know, we've had every club has got a COVID-19 officer, and they've been amazing and kept connecting with us. We've tried to keep engaging them as much as we can with kind of different competitions and virtual competitions, and I think they've valued that. We've been fortunate enough we didn't have to furlough everybody or a higher percentage of staff. I think there's definitely an appetite and an excitement for people to come back and be social within the sporting context. I think you can't underestimate that. You know, whilst I like going out and going for a run and going out on the run on my own, when I go out cycling, I'd rather go out with kind of the group that I go out with. And I'm really looking forward to kind of, you know, those kind of group cycles. And I think that'd be the case with team events and team sports. So, I mean, we don't know. You just don't know how many people are going to return to hockey. But we also don't know, being optimistic, how many people might want to pick up a team sport because of that social interaction. So we're still very much unknown in terms of what the future looks like in terms of membership. You know, virtual opportunities. You know, we are exploring some, digitizing some of our offer. It's still very much as I said at the start, you know, let's try something and learn from it and have a conversation and see if it's worked, and then, you know, go again if we need to. Still very much an unknown, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And as you say, I think that probably don't underestimate, you know, the value of the community and the social interaction. So particularly for team sports, people wanting to get back into just being around other people and doing things, I think is the value in that is huge, and I can see that for team sports generally. So yeah, hopefully, you know, things will slowly start to return to normal. I was going to ask a question regarding back to books, actually, because you mentioned it earlier as well, and the seven that you mentioned you've got on your list at the moment. I was going to, any recommendations, if just to put you on the spot, have you got anything that you think would, maybe you've read in the last 12 months when you've been off and you say, that's kind of either helped me or I really enjoyed that, or it was a great kind of just something to switch off, kind of a...
Yeah, I'm looking now.
It's a bit like it's a bit of a Tim Ferriss question, I think, because he always asks on his podcasts a kind of, I quite like the end bit of, if you could gift one book to somebody, what would you gift, or...
Well, I'm reading Radical Candor at the moment, which is an interesting book about being kind of straight talking, but with compassion. And, you know, sometimes when you need to have a difficult conversation, you skirt around it, and that's worse. You know, we all know, actually, just tell me, you know, but tell me in a compassionate way. Mm. And that's been interesting because I think it's definitely an ambition of mine to do that. But I do sometimes wonder if I deliver the message softer, or I skirt around it when I just need to just be straight talking.
Yeah.
The Tattooist of Auschwitz, is that one of the books I've read?
Okay.
Yeah, that's more of a switch. Well, I say a switch off book, it's not the best, but that was a good kind of switch off read. And then I've got a book that I just bought called Happy Sexy Millionaire. So I'm going to, I don't know what that's about just yet.
That was interesting.
Listen to his podcast. He interviewed the diary. It's called The Diary of Chief Execs, and he interviewed Fran Miller, is it, from to the chief exec of INEOS Cycling.
Yeah.
He did the interview. So that's when I bought Radical Candor and bought his book as well. So more of a bought his book and a bit of a whim still to read.
Mm.
And then the one obviously you've just recommended is Never Split the Difference. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to that because I do like a little bit about criminology, so the negotiating part of that I'm really intrigued to read. So
yeah, you'll enjoy that then, because that's a cracker.
Yeah.
I guess the other challenge for you now would be, because we've talked about it before on podcasts and against books, and maybe the ease of going for a walk now and just going for a stroll and perhaps listening to a podcast may be easier just in terms of that time management, might
yeah. It's definitely a shift I'm going to have to take. I do like the feel of a book, mind. I do like the, you know, but I, yeah, when I'm out for my walks on the weekend, I think it's going to have to be a podcast.
Yeah, brilliant.
Set up a little a sharing space for people across the cross sport and business to share some good podcasts.
Yeah, again, it's something we mentioned before, and you know, coming back into it, I kind of wonder now in this space that how much sharing, discussing things. That it's a bit of a kind of a virtual book club, really, isn't it? Or even podcast club or something like that. And because you're not the only one, not the only chief exec. I spoke with a few chief execs and other members of staff as well. Have got the same thing, and I think it's great because I've definitely had some great recommendations of people, and I've gone away with and taken a few. Yeah.
We just need to challenge ourselves to a deadline, to get the books read in a deadline, because it's too easy to put Netflix on when you just want to be mind numbed, when actually we probably could force ourselves to read a little book. So
I was going to say that would probably something, a deadline would probably definitely have both of us, I think, in that situation.
Yeah, definitely.
I've fallen into your trap now of buying books, and I've got a stack of them that I'm on. You know, few have started and few still got ready to read. But yeah. So, I mean, the next challenges for you, I guess, just finishing up. What do you think, the next few months will hold now for you as an individual in terms of getting back into things and your challenges?
Yeah, I mean, as you noted earlier, I'm really, it's great to be back. It's great to kind of, have, not that family isn't a purpose, but, a purpose and a focus in terms of work. I think the transition at the start was quite difficult, but it is good to be back. I'm looking forward to this kind of new reconfig. We've got some new roles within the organisation. So, we're stepping away from kind of the club development space and going into something a little more focused to support clubs, et cetera, across Wales. So I'm really excited to, test that for the next 12 months, see how it works out, see what we can learn from it and, adapt if we need to. But we are changing our approach to, rather than one club development officer supporting a region, we're now saying to the clubs, these are the area of expertise. If you need help with X, Y, and Z, speak to this person, this person, this person. So what I'm hoping is every club has got more support, but from people with the skill set to do that. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that pans out. We've got some really good, obviously Commonwealth Games coming up. Men potentially could qualify for the World Cup in the Europeans in June now. And then there's World Cup qualifiers for the women. So there's some really exciting things happening between now and 2023. There's some more exciting stuff further down the line and round about 2026, which we're working on at the moment. And just trying to, step away from the traditional sports development approach and become more of a business, more commercialised, engaging more partners and trying to make our delivery a bit more efficient. So those are the kind of short, medium and long-term plans for us. And yeah, I'm just excited to, we've got a really good team, a really good board. We've laid the foundations now in terms of good governance. Just get things done now, get out there and get make stuff happen is where we're at now. And that's what I'm excited about.
I guess, and hopefully the opportunity now the next few months is actually see sport being played again. Yeah. And I guess that's the realisation for you as a chief executive, yes, is to see people playing hockey again.
Absolutely. I mean, we're hosting Scotland weekend after next, which is great. Ah, it's going to be a test game as well, because the both those teams are going to, our men are going to the A Division Europeans in June, which is, they're playing against countries that have had the dispensation and the opportunity to play more regularly. So it's great for those guys to get some good quality competition done before they go out there. So be nice to actually go down and watch that. And I watched the women play Scotland as well, obviously behind closed doors a couple of weeks. It's just so nice to be sat next to a hockey pitch and watch sport. And I tweeted about, the men are playing Germany on the Friday night. And I was like, it's been such a long time that I've tweeted about a game. So yeah, and really excited to, get the clubs back playing, getting some primary school hockey happening. And yeah, there's hopefully we're out with the worst of COVID and, hockey can be back in full flow. So
how small do the hockey sticks go for your son now? When's he start going to be?
Well, I shouldn't say this, but he's going to get a golf set first. He's going to set a golf.
Oh, all right.
That's my mum. She's already, he's not even 1 yet and she's made the purchase already. So
that's the way.
Yeah.
That's <silly. Yeah. laughs> brilliant. Thank you very much again for your time, Ria. I really appreciate and always value our conversations, and I know usually we go off, I think it's been pretty good this one. Yeah. In terms of keeping on track rather than going off on the tangents that we inevitably do, but
we've done
thanks,
well.
Thanks for that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's been the most controlled catch up we've ever had, Jonty. But no, my pleasure. And I'm happy to help in any way and share my story. And if anyone wants to learn a little bit more about how we arrived at our strategy through the kind of storytelling approach, or if anyone wants to know a little bit more around me, I'm happy to share the challenges I've had personally to trying to have a family and pursue my career. Anybody, they're welcome to have a conversation. Brilliant.
Oh, I appreciate that. Great stuff. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.